Bibles and turn to the Titus chapter 2. You know, we are living in very, very difficult times. There's so many things going on, and I don't mean good things. There's so many bad things going on, so much wickedness going on. I got a little bit tickled at Kathy this morning. She was talking about watching the news. And boy, if you watch the news, she's right. You can get depressed quickly because it seems like everything in the world that's wrong is happening. And you know, as we live in these times, it's easy to get depressed. It's easy to get down. It's easy to get discouraged. But folks, you know, we ought not to, because we have a blessed hope, a blessed hope. And everything that we look at, everything that we see in this world, we need to look at it from a biblical view, with a biblical viewpoint in mind. And if we do that, these things won't discourage us. They won't cause us dismay and sorrow. I want you to look with me in Titus chapter 2. Title of my sermon is Our Only Hope. Our Only Hope. Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. And the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Are we a peculiar people? I hope we are. Amen? I hope we're peculiar when you compare us to the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you for, God, thy goodness and thy love to us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Because, Lord, truly, the Bible has the answer. It always has the answer. God, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, we have you to turn to. God, when we stand in need, as, God, we always do, we are a needy people. Father, I need you tonight. I need you to fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I need you to give me the words that you'd have me to say. Lord, you know my heart. I want to glorify your name. I want to uplift Jesus. God, I want to be a blessing to these, our people. I pray, Father, Lord, that you'll just take control. And God, all these good things will happen in Jesus Christ's name. We do pray. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. I want you to notice that he said looking for. You got to look for it. Amen. Looking for that blessed hope. I want to talk to you tonight about hope. Folks, hope is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Without hope, listen to me, you have nothing. You have nothing. Nothing but fear, nothing but discouragement, nothing but depression, nothing but sorrow, nothing but dismay, nothing but dread. We need hope. We all need hope. And listen, hope, real hope, drives all these terrible things that we just named, drives them away. Especially, beloved, is that true in the biblical sense of the word hope. Now, I've talked about this before, but bear with me as I talk about it again for just a moment. The word that we see, beloved, translated hope, in our Bible, in these verses, is the Greek word elpis, elpis. And beloved, it means something far different than the word hope as we use it today. The word beloved means, listen, confident expectation for good. That's what it means. When the Bible talks about hope, it's not talking, beloved, about something that we hope for that we don't know is coming and we hope that it comes. It's not talking about that. Beloved, it's talking about what we know will certainly come. We know this is certainly coming. And it is our hope. It is a sure hope. It is a positive hope. It is, beloved, a certain hope. Oh, let me tell you, it is a blessed, blessed hope that the Bible speaks of. Now tell me something. As you look at this world today and all that's going on, as you see, beloved, the lawlessness, the corruption, as you see, beloved, the lies or hear the lies that are being told, Lord, save us from election years, because I'm going to tell you, the lies fly every which way. As you see, beloved, the deep state and the globalists and the anarchy and the craziness that's going on all around you, listen, do you have that biblical kind of hope, beloved, for the future? For the future. Do you have that blessed hope for your family? Do you have that blessed hope for your own life? Do you have that blessed hope for this world? You know, I'm afraid that most people don't. And I say that with a broken heart. Many, beloved, have no hope at all. And that's why, beloved, you see so many on drugs, on liquor. I mean, ruining their lives. That's why we're seeing so many suicides. Beloved, I'm telling you, this world is a lot to handle if you have no hope. And some folks have no hope. And they turn to these things and only make things worse. Others, beloved, are clinging to a false hope. A hope, beloved, that will not help them, that will only disappoint and destroy them. Somebody says, what do you mean, preacher? What kind of false hope? Folks, there are many, many, even in Christian circles, who are putting their hopes in our politicians, in our leaders. They believe, beloved, if we can just get the right one elected, everything's going to be okay. Folks, that's not so. It's not so. Preacher, how do you know that? Because I know what my Bible says about these last days. And beloved, what God says is going to come to pass no matter who's in the White House. It's going to happen. Now, yes, we should all vote for candidates that stand on what is right, beloved, according to God's word. We all should do that. But beloved, good leaders, listen to me. Good leaders, at the most, can only delay for a short while what's coming upon this earth. What God says is going to happen. Oh, listen, politicians and leaders are not our blessed hope. And if that's what you are trusting, I was talking to a man just this past week. Beloved, that's what he's trusting in. But if that's what you're trusting in, I'm going to tell you, you will be disappointed. You will be disappointed. Others are trusting, beloved, in science. Science to deliver us from the mess that we have, beloved, in our society today. Science is their hope. People, beloved, have made such a god out of science that whatever science says, they believe and they will do it. And if you doubt that, just think back to COVID-19. Everything they said, beloved, we did. We did. And now we find out that it was all lies. It was all wrong. It was all wrong. I got news for you. Science, beloved, has been politicized. It's been politicized. So-called science, beloved, has lied to us over and over and over and over again. It has become a tool, beloved, of the globalists and the progressives to get the people to follow. Science is a false hope that won't deliver us, but beloved, will destroy those who trust in it. Will destroy them. Then, beloved, some have put their hope for this world in the church. Now, I love the church. Y'all know that. Amen? I thank God for the church. But, beloved, there are those who believe that the church is going to usher in a time of righteousness on this earth. Well, let me ask you, we've been at it for 2,000 years. How's it working? I mean, are things getting better because the church is here? No. It's getting worse. Do you see, beloved, the world getting better or worse? Folks, listen to me. Our blessed hope isn't in the politicians, and it isn't in science, and it isn't, beloved, in the church. Our blessed hope, listen to me, is Jesus. Only Jesus, beloved, can straighten this world out. Only Jesus, beloved, can make things right again. Only Jesus can end, beloved, the corruption and the lawlessness and the greed and the sin of this present world. He is our blessed hope. He's the one that we should be looking for. He's the one that we should be longing for. He's the one that we should put our hope in. Anything else is a false hope. Somebody says, preacher, why Jesus? Why is he our blessed hope? I'm so glad you asked me. Because if you hadn't, I wouldn't have a sermon. No, really. Beloved, Jesus is our blessed hope because Jesus, listen to me, has the power needed to make this world what it should be. Jesus, listen, folks, all we see that's wrong with this world, listen to me, and I'm liable to upset some folks, but I'm going to tell you the truth, and I got Bible to back me up. Beloved, all we see that's wrong with this earth is not caused by the politicians. It's not caused by the globalists. It's not caused, beloved, by a lack of science. It's not caused by the failure of the church. Beloved, all that we see is caused by a supernatural force. The Bible calls the rulers of darkness. That's where this is coming from. From the rulers of, a force that is comprised of fallen angels and demons that is headed up by the god of this world, the devil, or Satan, the adversary. What does God plainly tell us in Ephesians 6 verse 12? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. Did you get that? We aren't wrestling against men. We aren't wrestling against governments. We aren't wrestling against secret societies. We are wrestling against spiritual beings. Beings much more wise and much more cunning than we are. Much more powerful than we are. Now you tell me something. What politician, no matter how good a person he is, can stand against Satan and his hordes on his own, beloved? What politician can do it? None. No one. No one. He can't do it. He doesn't have the power. Somebody says, wait a minute, preacher. Listen, we've got the mightiest military in the world. We have weapons of immense power. And the president that is the commander-in-chief of all the armed forces. What's that to the devil? What is that to Satan? Beloved Satan, whom even beloved the mighty angel Michael would not rebuke. What does it matter what the president has or doesn't have? What good, beloved, are weapons against spiritual beings? Because that's what we're fighting against. That's what we're fighting against. You ever try to kill a spirit? Can't do it. Can't do it. Yet people, beloved, are trusting politicians to save us. To save us. That's ridiculous. Come on, amen or oh me. It's ridiculous. It's the same with science. Beloved, science doesn't even acknowledge the spiritual. They don't even acknowledge it. So how can they, beloved, conquer the one who is causing all of this mess that we see? Maybe you believe it's like Ghostbusters, you know, that scientists are going to come up with some kind of weird-looking gun, and they're going to shoot the spirits, you know, and the spirit's going to be canned. Y'all remember that nonsense? Well, let me tell you something, beloved. It was a dumb movie. It's not true. It was not true. Folks, science can only work, listen to me, in the physical realm or in the psychological realm, but it cannot, beloved, conquer that in the spiritual realm. It can't do it. It can't touch it. Hey, I got an idea. Let's put a mask on Satan so he can't infect us with his evil. You reckon that would work? CDC thinks it stops everything else. Hey, let's get Pfizer, beloved, to come up with a vaccine that will immunize us from the sickness of sin, and all sin will disappear. Isn't that a work? Let's get the CDC to tell us, beloved, what to do to rid this world of the lawlessness and the greed and the corruption and the violence and the sin nature. Oh, listen, you can count on the CDC and the World Health Organization. No, you can't. No, you can't. Yet this is the hope. So many. This is their hope. I'm telling you, folks, the cause of our problem is Satan and the rulers of darkness. And the only way to straighten out this mess, beloved, is to have someone more powerful than them. I wonder who that could be. Come on. Jesus. It could only be Jesus, God in a body of flesh. He's the one, beloved, that has the power. He's the one that has the power. He's the only one, beloved, that caused the demons to tremble when they heard the sound of his voice. He's the only one, beloved, that it said all power is given unto him. In heaven and in earth, all power is given to Jesus. To Jesus. He's the only one that God said, beloved, he would bruise the serpent's heel. In other words, he would hurt serpent's head. He would deliver a death blow to the devil. Only one. The only one. He's the only one who took Satan on toe-to-toe, beloved, on the mount of temptation and caused him, beloved, to flee away. He's the one, the only one, who took, beloved, all Satan had to offer on the cross, yet conquered death and hell and the grave. 3 days later, he arose. That's power, folks. That's power. Power that no one else has ever duplicated. And not only did he demonstrate, beloved, that power, but he also, beloved, had that power, had the power to pass it on to us so that death and hell and the grave cannot hold us who believe. Satan is the cause of all the mess that we see happening, and he is. No politician, no world leader, no scientist or scientific organization can deliver this world from the devil's hand. Oh, but Jesus can. Jesus can. Allah cannot do it. He doesn't even desire to do it. Beloved, Confucius can't do it. He's dead. Buddhism can't do it. The gods of Hinduism can't do it. But look what Jesus will do. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book, beloved, of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. We're going to see what Jesus is going to do. First, we're going to see what he's going to do to evil men who bow to Satan. Look with me in Revelation 19. I'm going to read verse 19. Then I'm going to skip down to verse 21. Listen to this. And I saw the beast. I had to look twice. I thought that was Pelosi. Okay. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Who is this who sits on the horse? Come on, it's Jesus. It's Jesus, beloved. Coming back with the armies of heaven, amen? It's Jesus. And look, and the remnant in verse 21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, whose sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Beloved, Jesus is going to destroy all of those who follows this, the devil, who follows Satan. What about those leaders, those world leaders who follow Satan's lies? Look at verse 20. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. That's power. He takes the two most powerful figures on this earth, beloved, Antichrist and the beast, Antichrist, and the false prophet, and he cast them into the lake of fire. And finally, to Satan himself, Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 and 3, listen. And he laid hold of that old dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up and set up a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose for a season. Do you know why, beloved, all this stuff is going on? Because Satan is deceiving the nations. Oh, but Jesus, listen. He that has the power, the only one, is going to take that old serpent and cast him, beloved, into the bottomless pit. Whoa! I can't hardly wait. I can't hardly wait. And then, beloved, will follow 1,000 years of peace on this earth. Y'all look at the mess we've got. Can you imagine peace? I mean real peace covering the earth. Beloved, for 1,000 years with Jesus ruling on the throne of David, there will be peace on this earth. At the end of the 1,000 years, look at verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Oh, listen, he has the power. He has the power. Not one evil Satan worshiper or Satan follower shall escape. Not of people or of the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Not even Satan himself will escape. That is our beloved, our blessed hope, folks. The real hope that we have. That's our blessed hope. You see, it's all in Jesus. And his coming back to this earth. Somebody says, I see, preacher, I see Satan is the cause of all the mess that we see. God tells us that. I see, preacher, that nothing of this earth can stand against him. I see, preacher, that only Jesus can defeat Satan and his hordes and straighten out the mess. But preacher, will he? Will he? Oh, yes, he will. He will. And I'll tell you why. First, because, beloved, his very nature is righteous. Is righteousness. His very nature. And listen to me. Righteousness always, always stands against unrighteousness. It always does. Let me ask you. Does anybody here really believe that a righteous, holy God is going to let the devil win? You believe that? When you're watching that news and you see all this mess going on, beloved, just laugh. Laugh at it. Because there's no way God's going to let the devil win. Amen? No matter what we see, no matter what in MSNBC or CNN or any other one say, God's not going to let devil win. That's impossible, folks. That's impossible. All the wickedness we see, all the lies that we are told, all the ungodliness we behold, all the murders and all, beloved, the abortions and all the fornication and all the idol worship and all, beloved, the child abuse and all the greed and all the stealing, beloved, all of it is an attack on God's righteousness, and God is not going to stand for it. He's not going to stand for it. He is righteous. So his righteousness will prevail as the Lord rules this earth. Yes, Jesus will. He will defeat and destroy the wickedness of this world and set up a kingdom of righteousness, because that's who he is. He is the righteous one. Second, Jesus, beloved, will surely straighten out all this mess because he has promised to do so. Have you ever, anybody, in fact, I got a $100 bill, I'll give it to you if you can honestly say that God has ever told you a lie, that Jesus has ever lied to you. You can't do it. Can't do it. I halfway spent it, Mr. Marshall, to say, oh, wait. No, I didn't. He's got too much fear of God for that. Too much fear of God. You ever known to break a promise? Over and over and over, we are told in the Old Testament that Messiah would come. He'll defeat the armies of God. He'll usher in a kingdom of peace, beloved, not war. A kingdom, beloved, of plenty, not want. A kingdom, beloved, of life, not death. Check this out. Turn in your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip down to 4 and read for a while. You read with me. Isaiah chapter 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Who is this him? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now look at verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. I'm going to tell you, y'all got to pray for Martha, because if we're, and we will be here in the millennium, when she sees the young playing on a snake den, she's going to have a fit. She's going to freak out. But guess what? They will not be harmed. They will not be harmed. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Listen to this. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Folks, this is God's promise. This is what he's promised. Yes, yes, Jesus will do this because he has promised. He has promised. He'll do it because it's part of his divine mission. Folks, Jesus did not leave glory for Satan to dominate this earth with his evil. That's not why he came. No, he came to crush the head of the serpent. And beloved, it began on Calvary. Listen, he came to undo all the harm that the devil has caused when he tempted man to sin. He's going to undo it all. Listen, he began the work, beloved, on Calvary. But beloved, it won't be finished until, beloved, the Lord comes back and he establishes a world of righteousness that makes this world what God intended it to be. What God intended it to be. It won't be finished until Satan is cast into the lake of fire and every knee bows to God. It's his mission. It's his mission. Yes, he will straighten out, beloved, the mess that the devil has caused. And for that, these reasons, Jesus is our blessed hope. Our blessed hope. You got hope, Christians. You got hope. No matter how bad things may seem. No matter, beloved, what kind of shenanigans goes on in Washington or down in Florida. No matter, beloved, if the whole world turns against God, I'm going to tell you something. We got hope. We got that blessed hope. That blessed hope. No matter how dark, how wicked, how evil this world might get, your hope, beloved, isn't in politicians. It isn't in science. It isn't in the church making things better. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. Don't get discouraged. When you hear the news, don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged over lying politicians. Don't get discouraged. Don't get overwhelmed by the evil around you. Just keep your eyes on the eastern sky, because he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Our Lord is coming. That is our blessed hope. That's our hope. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, how can we rejoice with all the evil that we see all around us? How can we rejoice when, Father, we hear the lies, so many lies, even, Lord, lies about you, about Jesus, about the Word? How, Lord, can we keep our joy, Father, when we see so much evil, so many wicked things? Father, the answer you put right here in the book of Titus: looking for our blessed hope. Looking for Jesus, because he's got the power to make it all right. He's got the power to undo the evil and make this world what it should be. And Father, he will. How we praise you for that. How we thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to look at all that we see around us through a biblical lens. Because, God, when we do, Lord, our joy just increases. It just increases. Father, we ask you to have your way in this invitation. Maybe, Father, we just want to come and praise you and thank you that, God, we have the victory because we have Jesus. The victory over all that we see, all that, God, we hear, we have the victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is our blessed hope. Whatever the reason, Father, you speak to hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, ask you to stand with me. As the music plays, we invite you to come.